You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
More than a radio station.
Let's walk the talk.
And joining us on the line right now to further discuss the matter is Ms. Mamoloko Kubai, who is the ANC NEC member and head of the economic transformation of the NEC. Minister, thank you so much for joining us. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Thabo, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Minister, according to the newspaper reports, and I would like you either to confirm or deny if it's appropriate or not, but it's been said that in the past few days you've been inundated with queries, questions, correspondence from business, both international and local, worried about the state of their affairs, their Section 89 report, and generally their political instability. And what were the main concerns of these business individuals?
Yes, definitely. I can confirm I've been on call both with local investors and also international since Wednesday evening when the report actually started making the rounds. One, they wanted to understand what does this mean in terms of the country at first. The approach more was because we had not even looked at the perspective from our side and position as the organization, but also we had not heard from the president whether what would be his approach to responding to the matter. So part of the first initiative was to first listen to their concerns, what would worry them, what would be of concern, and perhaps even some of the issues that they would be extremely worried about if should we take those terms. More around instability, they were worried that you might find that certain things are regressed. For example, they worried about the fiscal policy that could be reversed, or even the commitment on the MTPPS. Remember, Minister of Finance has already tabled a adjustment budget, and they wanted assurance that there's not going to be changes on the adjustment budget and what he has pronounced as going forward as a budget cycle. Second issue was more around a concern who will be if President has to leave or something, because already remember on Thursday there were rumors already that President is intending to resign. And part of what they were worried about was around whether they could, they could be a possibility of the President leaving. And that's what worried them, to say the markets actually are concerned. You'd have seen the rent taking a dive, and some of the investors starting to withhold possible commitment in the market. I had that again later on Friday. I had global, what we call a webinar or a call. Obviously, discussion on Chatham rules, but also just to listen to their concerns. And some of them actually were saying they think we are reckless as a country, and sometimes we forget that we don't deserve investment. We have to earn the trust of the markets to be able to have that investment. They're concerned about uncertainty, unpredictability, and more also they're saying they don't want to interfere with political matters, but this is their money that they invest in the economy, and therefore they believe that there should be consideration of consequences and should there be instability. So they worried about that. They worried about the regress in terms of the fight against corruption, and therefore the public purse being vulnerable going forward, and possibly no recoveries of lost monies would be seen in the future, and they wanted assurances around those areas. They wanted to know if we will continue with the reforms as we have committed, and whether there will be changes in what we have committed publicly, and both in terms of our commitment as government. So those are some of the issues they raised with me.
And I would be very much interested in knowing your response, perhaps briefly, about your assurances that you conveyed to them. And I would also assume that you were speaking to them as the head of economic transformation, not just as minister, but also as the leader of the ANC, to give them some insights. What were your exact words of assurances and certainty to them?
Definitely. Remember, I interact with them regularly in my capacity as head of ETC. So that's how they would have access to me. So when they talk to government, they'll talk to Minister Kotlongwane. When they talk to the NCO on the markets and other issues, they'll talk to me, for example, on policy issues and all that to understand the trajectory. So that has been work that I've been doing since I took over. Now, the assurances that we give, because it's that ANC has policy and assure them of policy certainty, that we do not change policy in between, in the middle of the route. And obviously, we have tabled a document that is going to conference. That would be the document we utilize for policy. And also, I did assure them that learning from the past, and because I've been in the process when President Zuma was recalled, I was in cabinet as Minister of Communication, so I understood more in terms of the process. Mm. But to say no, there isn't currently a threat of President Zuma. That this was on Saturday, where the matter was already said that he's going to take the matter to review, and therefore explain the process in terms of review. How does it work? But because as well they don't know how does parliamentary process work. To say this is an initial report, it still has to go through the processes of parliament. Parliament must either adopt or reject it. And if it accepts it, therefore this is what it means. So I outlined that process having been understanding parliament processes as well.
Mm.
So that's what one had to say. And on the fiscal environment, we did assure them because it's a legal document. Once it's passed by parliament, you can't change it. The only thing is that if there were any changes, it will be changed after a budget in February.
Minister, one of the concerns that many South Africans have is that of instability and uncertainty, not just from the side of business. And I mean, also the instability within the ANC itself. I don't think that it is necessarily my new discovery that there is a high sense of disunity within the ANC. Everyone can see that there are divisions that are there. Having said that, I'd like to find out from you, which way will some of you as leaders of the ANC go as far as voting is concerned? Because there are reports that are saying from last night suggesting that the ANC-NEC will receive a report from the NWC that they should vote against the Section 89 report.
Look, I would not speak on that because we're only going to the NEC now at 10. I think we'll leave for that discussion. Allow me to have my views first in the organization and then we can come. But on the issue of instability, I think one has to take that consideration that, as I said to the investors as well, it's a conference year. And I engaged them, I think, 6 months ago. I did caution them to say, look, in an election year, there are quite a number of things. I call it a theater place, a play. So I said to them, they must be cautious in an election year because quite a lot of drama happens, because it's a contestation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it cannot be in the political. So it is, while I'm not underplaying the issue of disunity, it is very clear that it's disunity. But it gets heightened in the year of elections.
Yeah.
And you can imagine, Thabo, this report comes just 15 days, few days before conference, where people are still hoping that I can be raised from the floor to contest Ramaphosa, can win against Ramaphosa. So it gives it opens a window that even those that would have thought that the window was closed for me to contest.
Sure.
And therefore they want to utilize that to their effectiveness and to their advantage. And that's what as well we need to take into consideration as this report is. I do believe that if the report, for example, was out like a year before conference or 2 years before conference or after conference, will be dealt with differently and we'd not see this hype much more in the manner that it is now.
Do you think the president should go?
No, I don't think the president should go. No, he shouldn't. Thabo, I've been very clear in my articulation why I would want him to stay for second term. That I've not hidden. I do support him to come back and I do support him for second term.
Does that mean you don't support the rule of law?
I support the rule of law.
They seem to be in collision cause, these two things.
No, they are. Mm. They are not, Thabo. Let me explain.
Sure.
I've said previously, and I want to reiterate, president must be accountable, and that's why he must go and follow the process. Now, the process has not been done, and it's not the ANC that says we are going to follow the process. Mm. He has come out to say, I see the weaknesses. All of us have read the report. There are gaps in that report. Now, he says, I see this. I'm going to go for a review of this report because it didn't follow in detail some of the issues. For example, if you look in the report, you find that there's three people who should have given statements. I'm not so sure why. Mm. They didn't get to their affidavits for them to do. I still believe that in the process, again, the PP must finalize the report. Mm. The Hawks must do their investigation and do that. Should sure. any of this, for example, if President tomorrow, the Hawks comes and say, we are charging you, I would be the first one to say, President, now you are facing a charge. You are going to have to appear before a magistrate
yeah.
or a judge. Therefore, you must step aside because the rules are saying that only when you are charged, indicted. So that's where I'm standing currently, because otherwise then we act inconsistently. There are quite a number of companies who have reports, and they've taken the reports to review and we've allowed them.
But the unique thing about this one is that the impeachment committee, which would be unfolding and formed if everyone votes accordingly, will give the president the exact opportunity to raise the issues that you are concerned about. The outstanding questions and answers would be provided therein. So by the when the president subverts that process and fights that process, he's only denying all of us and himself the opportunity to hear what actually happened, which could have unfolded from the impeachment committee.
No, there hasn't been a decision travel to say the impeachment committee shouldn't be. I'm
fair.
Not aware of
fair.
That.
No, you, I was given permutations, but you are quite fair. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, let's leave it at that. I know you have to rush to a meeting, but I appreciate your time. I'm hoping that you'll speak to us again, ma'am.
Definitely will. Definitely to make time. Thank you very much for this time.
Thank you for the opportunity. Mamuloko Kubai is the ANC NEC member and head of the Economic Transformation Subcommittee in the NEC.
702.
More than a radio station.
Let's walk the talk.
And straight to Mervin Dex, you would know him and remember him because he was suspended not too long ago and due to the issue of taking the recording of the president to SCOPA for investigation. Mr. Mervin Dex, really appreciate your time. Welcome to 702.
Good morning to you and good morning to your listeners.
Again, your time is highly appreciated, but we do not have a lot of it, so I'll go straight to the points. Do you believe that President Cyril Ramaphosa must go?
Definitely. I definitely believe that the president should resign.
Why so?
You know, when you look at what is happening currently, the final report that has been released to the public, it is very, very clear that from the president's answers, the unsatisfactory answers the president has been given to the committee, it's very unsatisfactory. And I believe, therefore, he should step aside. He should resign because we have a problem. If we...
Sorry, Mr. Mervin Dex, I think I lost you a little bit there. The signal was not too good. I don't know if you can hear me. Mr. Mervin Dex? I'm struggling to hear you. I think let's try to get him again on a better line because this is a very interesting conversation. Mr. Mervin Dex, I understand you're back.
Yes, okay. I'm back.
Can you hear me clearly now?
I was just saying
that some members will of the public and of the ANC will just say that you have always been begrudging against the president. You've always had one issue or the other against him, emanating from the recording that you wanted SCOPA to investigate. Could it be that it's just a political grudge that you want him to go? Could it be that you are a member of the RET that some people have painted you to, that you want him to go, and it's got nothing to do with the merits of the issue?
No, it's definitely not that. I do not have any grudges against the president. In fact, the president's a very nice man. He could be a very nice uncle. He's a very nice person. The president on a human level is very, very, very nice person. The problem that I have with the president is the whole issue about accountability. The president does not want to account. The president does not want to account to anybody in this country. The president ran to the courts to conceal his bank statement. When we asked the president in Skopje, a simple request that the president must come and explain to us about the statement that he has made, the president refused to account. Now again, the president refused to account. The president wants to take the report on review because the president does not want to account.
I will say to you that as the member of parliament from the ANC caucus, there have been reports, as I've posed to Ms. Mamoloko Kubai, there are reports that the ANC may decide to close rank on the issue and instruct you as members of parliament tomorrow to vote against Section 89 report. Should that happen, I'm not saying that it will happen, should it happen, would you still vote against would you vote against Section 89, which will then establish an impeachment process, or would you defy the ANC completely?
No. Let me put it to you this way. I will definitely vote, no matter what the ANC says tomorrow in the caucus or tonight in the caucus. I will definitely vote in favor of the report that the impeachment committee should be established. I'll tell you why I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
See, this process was started by Parliament. The Parliament, which is led by the majority, which is ANC. We have started this process. Now that the report is out and certain people do not like the outcome of our own processes, they now want to say that we must kick this report out. You can't subvert your own processes. This is a process of parliament. Now, how do you expect us now to subvert our own
Will you defy the ANC?
It's not defying the ANC. The ANC did not send me to parliament to go and do unethical things in parliament.
Yeah, but they've sent you to parliament nonetheless. You are there, not in your own jacket. You are there because of the ANC.
But not to go and do unethical things in parliament. If the ANC makes me a minister and to the ANC come back to me and say, from my ministry, I must give them money, get one of the departments to give them money. I cannot do that because it's illegal.
Mervin,
you cannot go and your ANC cannot expect us to do unethical things in parliament because it will be very unethical for the ANC to ask us to vote against this report.
Thank you so much, good sir. Mervin Dex is a member of parliament in the ANC caucus, and he says whatever the ANC says, he will vote for the impeachment committee to be established, even if the ANC does not want him to do so. We go straight to Professor Dek Kotse just to briefly dissect this for us. Prof, thank you so much for your time. We don't have a lot of it. You're a professor of political science at UNISA. Appreciate your time. What do you make of it? On one end, Mamoloko Kubai is saying that he's with the president and she'll do what the caucus says. Mervin Dex, unsurprisingly, saying that he will defy the ANC should it come to that.
Yes, I think you are referring to two good examples. I think what is the complication is that we work with a system of electoral system in parliament, which essentially is based on political parties and not individual candidates or individual representatives. That is the reason why also now very much in the news is the issue about inclusion of individual representatives from 2024 onwards. So this is, at the moment, it emphasizes, therefore, discipline within political parties, political parliamentary caucuses. We've seen one exception, and that is the one, that I think it was the last motion of no confidence on President Zuma, where there was a secret vote, and then according to calculations, about 30 members of the ANC's caucus voted in favor of the motion of no confidence. But in general, I think the party still dictates, and that is why there is so much pressure on changing the electoral system also.
Prof, the blatant defiance from some members of the ANC in parliament, what does that tell us? Do they feel that they've got nothing to lose? Conferences are around the corner, or is the ANC schism becoming more prevalent than ever?
I don't think it's more prevalent because I just referred to the time of President Zuma when it was even more, I would say, than what it is now in terms of being divided. It looks like actually President Ramaphosa has quite a strong hold on the ANC. If you look at the nominations, though they were made before this latest revelations and the panel report, but close to 70% of the ANC branches nominated President Ramaphosa. If you look at the 200 names that have been that's on the list for the MEC's election, the majority also is supporters of President Ramaphosa. So it's different from what we've seen, for example, in 2017, where the ANC was finally balanced, almost 50-50. This is not the case at the moment. And what we are seeing from reports and opinion polls and so on is that President Ramaphosa's popularity is less than what it was, but it is still more than that of the ANC.
I was referring directly to the parliamentary dynamics, which does not necessarily lean on the branch support as such, but there are members of the ANC caucus that may decide to betray the cause and supported obviously by members of the opposition. Is it a clear walkover that the president will lose, or even inside parliament it's not as crystal clear as we make it out to be?
No, it's not so clear. The ANC has 57% of the seats in the National Assembly, so they at the moment they have a clear majority. If a number of them are going to defy the caucus instruction, then it's still possible for the ANC to win the vote. So I don't think it. There's definitely not a clear case that the opposition plus some ANC members might form the or might reach the 50% plus one. It's actually the opposite.
So President Ramaphosa is still looking pretty, and his job is safe.
I won't say that so categorically, but it looks at this stage as if he has a good chance for that. And I think once that has happened, then the pressure on, well, then the impeachment process will come to an end. And then what is left is the other investigations by the public protector and the SIU and the Hawks and others. And it will depend on what happens there. But it will open up the opportunity for him to be more easily re-elected at the national conference.
Prof, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. Let's chat again. I hope that we'll have more time then. I really appreciate your time. Professor Dirk Kotze is the professor of political science at UNISA, and he was just helping us to understand the issues a little bit more.